Couple of announcements. First of all, this Friday is Christmas Eve, the 24th. We will have Christmas Eve service right here, 5 p.m. And then a couple of days later, Sunday the 26th, one service, 10 a.m. It's going to be very informal. There's not going to be a bulletin. We're going to sing a bunch of Christmas carols. I will give a... I am capable of a brief message. And you're laughing, so you better come, and I'll prove it to you. Sunday morning, the 26th, one service, 10 a.m. It's only going to be about 45, 50 minutes. Like I said, very informal. We're just going to sing a bunch of Christmas carols and be together to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Two weeks ago, we looked at the Annunciation, the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary. Luke tells us that not long after that visit from the angel Gabriel, when Gabriel told her that she would, as a virgin, she would conceive in her womb and she would give birth to a son. And she apparently not long after that went, and apparently by herself, there's no mention of Joseph going with her, she travels to visit her relative, Elizabeth. And remember that Elizabeth is also miraculously going to have a baby when she was past the age of childbirth. And today's text is about that meeting. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, hear now the word of God. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, Jesus said, "Your word is truth." Open our hearts now and plant your word within us, so that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Christmas is a time of surprises, isn't it? I once heard about a few weeks before Christmas, a woman got a knock on the door. And there was a man there, and he said, "Look, lady, I'm out of work. I need to make a little bit of money for Christmas. Do you have any odd jobs around the house that I could do?" And she was feeling generous because it was just about Christmas time. And so she said, well, I was just about to paint the porch out back. The paint is out there and a brush, and I'll pay you $100 to do it. And he said, oh, that's great. So he went around the back. A few hours later, he came back and he knocked on the front door, and he said, well, it's all done. And she said, did you do a good job? And he said, well, I think so, but there's one thing, lady. That's not a Porsche back there. It's a Mercedes. Christmas is a time of surprises, right? And so it's good for us to remember. I mean, you know, the ultimate surprise is that God took on human flesh and came among us as a baby, helpless in a manger. But there are some surprises that come before that. First of all, Elizabeth became the mother of John the Baptist when she thought that was impossible. Zechariah thought, her husband thought that was impossible, because she was past the age of childbirth. Mary, no doubt, thought that she was too young and too unmarried to have a baby. But they both find themselves rejoicing that God just interrupts their lives. There's no advance warning. There's no seminar of preparation for the gift that they are given. Their lives were just upended by God, and they're rejoicing. Elizabeth saw Mary step through her door, and she heard Mary's greeting, and two things happened. The first thing Luke says is the baby in Elizabeth's womb, the baby leapt for joy. Little John the Baptist, even before he's born, is doing his job, jumping up and down and pointing at Jesus. That was John the Baptist's calling. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. He said, after me is coming one, I'm not even worthy to shine his shoes. He's going to be so much greater than me. And so the baby leapt in her womb. And I think little John the Baptist isn't just leaping because Mary is there, but because of the little one in her womb. The second thing that Luke says happened, he says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I won't ask for a show of hands, but I wonder if there's any recovering Catholics in here. You know this text, right? Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me? Elizabeth says, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord... You catch that? The mother of my Lord, Adonai, is a Hebrew, the name that they use in the place of Yahweh, the unpronounced, the word that is so holy that it can't be pronounced aloud. Elizabeth knows that the one who will be born will be God in the flesh. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, she's so astounded by the grace that God has given her that she just exclaims, "Why is this granted to me?" You and I might ask that same question. Why was it granted to me to come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior? Why was it granted to me to hear the gospel from a young age? Why was it granted to you to come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior and the hope that we have in Him? Why? Well, Elizabeth seems to be asking, out of all the people in the world, why would God notice me? Little old me. Why would God do a wonder in my life? Elizabeth is astonished and surprised and thankful. Now, what I want to consider today is not only why was this granted to Elizabeth, but why was it granted to you and me to come to know Jesus Christ? Now, why would God choose to bless Elizabeth? We may as well ask, why would God choose to bless you? Why would God choose to bless me? Well, the first reason is that I want to look at, you and I have been created in the image of God. Marv read the text from Genesis 1 just a moment ago. I want to talk a little bit about what that means, that you and I have been created in the image and likeness of God. Now, first of all, I want to read you something from the Westminster Confession of Faith. The Westminster Confession is the statement of faith of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. It was written in 1647. This is what it says about God. "There is but only one living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will for his own glory." And the first page of the Bible tells us that this God, who is infinite, eternal, incomprehensible, this God, speaking with a royal we, said, "Let us make man in our image." And so he created them in his image, male and female. He created them in his image, says Genesis 1. That does not mean that we look like God or that God looks like us. Our Mormon neighbors are confused about that. This, to be made in the image and likeness of God, does not mean we look like God. Jesus said God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, what it means that we are made in the image of God is that God made us to reflect him so that we could have a relationship with him. Did you know that? That God made you so that you could have a relationship with him. And I don't mean from a distance. God wants to have a relationship with you and for you to know him and trust him and walk with him every day, to live in intimate relationship with him. A couple of weeks ago, I told you there is no such thing, and I'm going to repeat it, there is no such thing as an ordinary human being. Every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. There is no such thing as an ordinary human being, and you have never met an ordinary human being. You were made for relationship with God. So Elizabeth asks, why me? Well, the first answer, Elizabeth, you were made in the image of God. There's a second reason. Jesus told a story, well, he told a whole series of stories about what God is like. And this is in Luke chapter 15. And one of those stories is about a shepherd who has 99 sheep safe in the fold, and one wanders away and is lost. And this shepherd leaves the 99 who were safe in the fold and goes out searching for that one lost lamb. And then when he found it, he picked it up and put it on his shoulders and carried it home with rejoicing and called together his friends. Jesus said, there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. They're cheering us on from the balcony of heaven when one sinner repents. The Bible says in Isaiah, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, a prophecy of Christ, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us has been a lost sheep, or maybe is a lost sheep right now. Jesus said that God sent him into the world to seek us out. We didn't seek him out. He sought us out and put us on his shoulders and carried us home. Do you realize what Jesus is saying here? There's 99 safe in the fold. There's only one lost. Why didn't he just write it off? It's just one little sheep. Let it go. This shepherd won't do that. He'll leave the 99 who were safe and go out seeking that one. Do you realize what that means? That means that if you were the only person that ever sinned and rebelled against God, he would have taken on flesh and come to seek you out and save you. Elizabeth says, why is this granted to me? Because you're precious to him, Elizabeth. You belong to him. You're his lamb. You can never be so lost that he will not seek you out and find you. Now, there's a third reason that I'd like to look at. God keeps his promises. What has Elizabeth done to deserve Jesus Christ? Nothing. God keeps his promises. He gives himself to those who will receive him. He gives himself freely without regard to merit. And by the way, I love a quote from Mark Twain. I don't think Mark Twain was a very devout Christian, but he really captured something once, something that he said. He said, "If heaven were based on merit, your dog would get in and you would be out." Grace, by definition, is a gift, an undeserved gift. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Paul celebrated the cross of Christ Romans 5. The Apostle Paul said, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were sinners, before we cared or whether or not we cared at all, Christ gave himself in love for us. Elizabeth asked, "Why is this granted to me?" She knows she's not being rewarded. That's how it is with grace. It's based on the wonderful giver, not on any wonderfulness in us. Now, that's hard for us to wrap our heads around because that's not how the world works. A little boy was sitting on the knee of the department store Santa, and the boy asked Santa, "Will I get everything that I asked for this Christmas?" And Santa said, "Well, ho, 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 that depends on whether you've been a good boy or a bad boy. By the way, what do your parents do?" And the little boy said, "Well, my dad is a vice president at Amazon, and my mom is a partner in a big law firm downtown." Santa said, "Good boy." The world says those that have are those that get. Mary, in her Magnificat, I didn't read it, but I encourage you to, right after the encounter with Elizabeth, Mary bursts forth in this wonderful poem that we call the Magnificat. And she says, "The rich he has turned away, but the empty he has filled with good things." Now, I don't think our financial status has anything to do with it. But when we come to Christ, when we authentically come to Christ, we know we come empty. And he fills us with good things. Elizabeth shows the way. She said to Mary, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now, that's a very important sentence. I'm going to say it one more time. Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. She believed the promise of God. It's not simply that she believed God existed. It's not even simply that she believed God loved her. No, blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. She believed the promise of God. To believe the promises of God is to trust that he keeps his promises. And it's to let go of all false hopes so that our hands and our hearts are open to receive him. I want to ask you a question. Do you have any hopes for this Christmas that revolve around what other people will do? Let those go. Do your hopes depend on some ideal set of circumstances that have to come together? Let that go. Do your hopes depend on God giving you what you've decided you most need? Let that go. Those are false hopes. Jesus Christ promised to give new life to anybody who would come to him. He promised that he would place within us an artesian well of living water welling up to eternal life. He promised to give us a new quality of life to forgive our sins, and that he would never fail us or forsake us, and he will be with us forever. We will be with him forever. Here's the final, ultimate surprise. Jesus came to reign. He's the ultimate king. And one day every knee will bow before him. But he came with a different kind of authority. Most empires are built on the backs of their subjects. But Isaiah prophesied of Jesus Christ, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. The burden will be on him, not us." Most governments put burdens on people. Jesus carries burdens. Come to him this Christmas. Come to him once again. He was born to renew and restore this broken world. He came to carry our sin and give us peace, peace with God. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Mighty God, we thank you for this. Thank you for this account from Luke. Of this wonderful encounter between Elizabeth and Mary, and the way little John the Baptist, growing in Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy, pointing at Jesus. Oh God, you have poured out grace upon grace into our lives, totally undeserved. But you took the initiative in love to come among us. By your Holy Spirit, give us gratitude and give us trust in your promises. May we be like Mary, to trust what you have promised into our lives. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.